for your diligence, preparation, for leading us in worship. It's been a busy week, maybe even a stressful week for Alex. So thank you. Hopefully there's some joy in playing. So thank you. And to our worship team for practicing and preparing as well. And if you have hidden talents, we want to unhide them. So just keep that in mind. This morning, we are going to be in Psalm 23 again. It's our mission and vision month, as I know Jacob mentioned. I think a few things he already noted, but maybe just again, we have t-shirts. There's a sign-up sheet. We're going to make another order if you want a particular size. Also on that back table, our corporate challenges. I shared those last week, and in email. And then there's a new five-day devotional based on today's sermon. So this is the white page. It's out on the table. Feel free to grab those and use them. I think some people have been using them, and that's encouraging. So let's, if you open your Bibles to Psalm 23, we're going to get started this morning. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to be our shepherd. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for your mercy and kindness. We praise you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We pray that you'd open our hearts and minds that we might hear what we need to hear today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I asked the question last week, how could David write this psalm? That is, in asking how, what experiences did he have to have gone through? What had he known? What had he suffered? To be able to write a psalm that is maybe one of the most well-known passages of Scripture. Well, he's not the progenitor of this idea of the Lord being someone's shepherd. That comes directly from the Lord. And David he would have known of Jacob. Jacob. Now, what connection is between Jacob, the patriarch, and Psalm 23? Well, I'll just say there was some family drama. If you're reading in Genesis, there's actually quite a bit of family drama. And that, Jacob's kind of caught up in that. He's a part of that. He's certainly to blame at times, and he's sent away. And as he ventures forth, God encounters him and declares, "Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you." That's Genesis 28:15. That notion, that idea, that truth, that the Lord is going to be with him, that he's going to keep him, that he's going to bring him back. He'll lead him back. He's not going to leave him. Defines his life. After he flees Laban, the Lord encounters him again, Genesis 31. "I will be with you," the Lord says. Later, as he prepares to return home, he shares with his family that God has been with him throughout his journey. 35:3. As an old man, facing a long journey to join his sons in Egypt, later in the book of Genesis, God again visits Jacob, reminding him of his lifelong promise, and declares, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to descend to Egypt, for there I will transform you into a great nation. I myself will accompany you to Egypt, and I will also raise you up again." It's chapter 46. And a couple chapters later, at the end of his life, Jacob is reflecting on his entire existence and acknowledges God's unwavering presence with him. And he blesses his son Joseph, and he declares, "The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Jacob says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David echoes that in Psalm 23, and to be able to say that requires faith. that we would say, Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. To see that God has been a constant companion. And to know that the shepherd leads us where we need to go and where we have to go. So here's my theme this morning. If the Lord, and that's conditional, and it may not be true for everyone here, but if the Lord is your shepherd, if he's our shepherd, then, and here's the true theme statement, we are led by our shepherd. If he is our shepherd, then he's going to lead us, right? We are led by our shepherd. So if you have a shepherd, then you would have an expectation. What does he do? Where does he lead? If it's true, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. I shall have everything that I need. If that's true, how? Well, I have good news for those who are humble, those who are hurting, and even those who have hard hearts this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 23, verses 2 through 4. So I'm tripling the number of verses I'm preaching. It's just one verse last week. So our focus will be on verses 2 through 4, although I'll read the whole psalm. It's there on your bulletin and in the Pew Bible, page 458. So follow along as I read God's word for us this morning. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Where does the shepherd lead? How does he lead? Two questions you might think of as we declare the Lord is our shepherd. Then there's going to be these two realities. What kind of shepherd is he? How does he lead us? Where does he lead us? And you heard me say it. I'll say it again. He leads us where we need to go. And he leads us where we have to go. And if he is a good shepherd, then what does that mean for us? Well, keep this in mind. Sheep need to be led. Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a shepherd in the literal sense. In the spiritual sense, yes. But in the literal sense, I'm not a shepherd. But I do know that sheep need to be led. They have a limited sense of direction. They rely heavily on routine. The presence of the flock, other people being around them, not people, but other sheep being around them, but also a shepherd and sometimes a sheepdog, which we have probably seen videos, and it's amazing to watch those animals work. And in the ancient Near Eastern context in which this psalm was written, shepherding involved, and it probably, I mean, it still does today, but certainly in this context, it involved personal care and guidance. The shepherd knowing the flock, being intimate with them, caring for them, loving them, leading them. And David is saying, Yahweh is like this. He's going to lead us where we need to go. You need to be led to places of rest, refreshment, restoration, and righteousness. We talked a little bit about the rest last week and that taking a look at that phrase, I shall not want. But this expands it. You see this verse 2, beginning of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I don't know. Probably you don't eat your dinner lying down. Is that fair? We lie down after we eat, right? After lunch, we go, man, I need a nap, right? But you don't lie down while you're eating. This is speaking of the shepherd having already led the sheep to places of good grazing, that they are so satisfied that they can now lie down and rest because the shepherd cares for them. They've received all the sustenance they need. They're satisfied. Our shepherd leads and he feeds. Those two go together. The New Living Translation says, he lets me rest in green meadows. It's a beautiful picture. Yahweh knows what you need, and he will lead you where you need so that you can rest in him. Probably similar to that is the refreshment. So he makes me lie down in green pastures, and then what? The second part of verse 2, he leads me beside still waters. Literally in the Hebrew, restful waters. So here's that same idea of rest, but now also calm and refreshment. Sheep instinctively avoid rushing or turbulent water. They have horrible eyesight. Maybe not horrible, but not good eyesight. So a shepherd will intentionally lead them to a quiet, safe, and accessible place of water. Philip Keller, in his classic book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, that's from 1970, so any of you vintage 1970, you can call yourself a classic. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can. It's a great book, and he says this as well, when sheep are thirsty, they become restless and set out in search of water to satisfy their thirst, if not led to good water supplies of clean, pure water, they will often end up drinking from the polluted potholes where they pick up such internal parasites as nematodes, liver flukes, or other diseases and germs. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? We're led to still waters, to restful waters, to be refreshed in the Lord. That's where we need to go. There's also restoration. When we have need, the shepherd will restore us. He restores my soul. Now, there may be two senses of this, and you can maybe choose one or say maybe both are in view. One sense is that sheep do tend to wander, and they will need to be brought back, restored to the flock. A good shepherd will do that, will bring them back, restore them to that right place and right relationship. There's also the restoration that comes from the shepherd taking care of their physical being. So he restores my soul, or he restores my life. And the Lord does that week in and week out here at North Hills and certainly other places as we experience the means of grace. It's a part of his restoration. As we confess our sin, we're brought back to the living God, not out of fear of condemnation, but because we know he loves us so much that he has sent his son to rescue us. And so we're restored, and we partake in that week after week after week because we need it. Lord leads us to that place. He also leads us in righteousness. That's the last part of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is the shepherd leading us on good and right paths. Now, sometimes that's not natural to us, but the shepherd knows what's good and right for his sheep. And he's saying, my reputation is at stake. When it says for his name's sake, he's saying, my leading will declare who I am. It will show what kind of shepherd I am. I'm not going to lead you to someplace that's not good for you. I'm not going to lead you and leave you, because my reputation is at stake in this as a shepherd. His character, Yahweh's character, is revealed in how he leads us. There's plenty of crooked men and crooked paths. And maybe we've been that and on that. But the Lord says, I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness because I am your shepherd. That's where we need to go, but the shepherd also leads us where we have to go. He's with us there. If I asked you, hey, would you prefer to go to Disney World or Clearview Cancer Institute? Hey, which one are you taking? Every day and twice on Sunday, you're taking Disney World, right? If I asked you, do you want to go to the Promised Land or do you want to go to Huntsville Hospital? Are you okay? Right? These are not questions that we need to answer because we know how we feel. The still waters sound lovely, don't they? I absolutely love if I'm in the mountains somewhere or hiking around nearby, and if there's a little creek with a little babbling brook, and I love to just sit there and listen and quiet my soul and know the Lord is there. That's I want that all the time. I there's still waters out there, but I'm not sure. Anyway, green pastures. That sounds delightful, doesn't it? If you ask me my favorite color, I'd tell you it's blue. But honestly, I love the color green. I love to sit in our backyard and just stare at all of the various shades of green that show up in the spring and the summer. It's not one thing, it's many things. And certainly, the Lord restores me and leads me, and follow him, at least I'm seeking to follow him in righteousness. And the more I follow him, the more I repent on a daily basis, the more I long to be led, the more I see God's provision through his command. I see that he doesn't command as a tyrant, but as a loving father. And I say, this is my shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And that all sounds good. But it would be a missing reality if this psalm just stopped at the end of verse 3. Or even if it just jumped over and it was only 5 verses and you didn't include verse 4. We live in a fallen world where there are dangers and there is deep darkness. And notice the change in verse 4. You go from this language of he leads me, to now, even though David writes, I walk through, this makes it so intimate and personal, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's an urgency here. It's a more sinister locale. We move to a place that feels uncertain and unsafe. It is foreboding. It is a place where fears threaten to overtake us. There are these deep gorges and wadis in the desert and around Jerusalem and in that Judean area. And one famous one, the Wadi Quelt, is a stream that runs from the northwestern slopes of the Judean desert just outside of Jerusalem to down to the city of Jericho. And it's one of the biggest and only sources of water in the Judean desert, which means sometimes that valley and in that place where there's all kinds of things above you and things you can't see and sometimes deep darkness, which is one way that this can be translated through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness, sometimes that valley is necessary to go through. The shepherd will lead you where you have to go, not where you want to go, but he will lead you where you have to go. When have you learned most if you're a follower of Christ? It is probably, at least sometimes, it's been when you've been in that valley of the shadow of death. When have you learned to trust your Savior and your shepherd more. It's when everything else is stripped away and you don't know what else you have. And yet, the presence of the shepherd is here. And Dale Ross Davis says, it is not that Christ is closer in the valley, but that we realize in the valley how close he has always been. That is one of the graces that comes through suffering. We learn how close our shepherd has been to us. Not how good it's been, but how close he's been. His presence, because you're with me, David says, I will fear no evil. I know, easier said than done. But notice that it's connected. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Just what Jacob had said in all of his sojourns, and as the Lord confirmed again and again and again, I am with you. Rod and staff, they comfort me. The rod was there to protect from dangers and enemies. I love on our chandeliers, you might have to look when the lights aren't on, at the top, not at the top of the chain, but at the top, there's a hook. It's called a shepherd's hook. I may be the only one who loves this. It's not why we chose these lights, but I love that we have a reminder, even in this sanctuary, that our shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. The rod would be used, shepherd's staff or hook. The rod would be used to protect. The staff would be used to draw the sheep back closer. He uses both. He carries both. And again, Dale Ralph Davis says, Jesus Christ, our shepherd, is no emaciated weakling. Our shepherd is a warrior as shepherds had to be. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand, John 10:28. The muscles of his arm are flexed to defend his flock. He doesn't carry a club for nothing. He is obviously enough for whatever the valley throws at us. And this is indeed comfort. So the rod and the staff are used. And the one who lights our way in the darkness is ready to draw us back close when we have experienced fright and fear that threatens to overwhelm. And when we think we know a better path. You ever thought in life, I've got a shortcut I can take? And found maybe it wasn't so great of a path after all. It's sometimes there's places you have to go. And the Lord will be present there. The valley is unavoidable. We will all experience a valley of the shadow of death, likely multiple times in multiple ways, literally and figuratively in our lives. But even death, which is certain, cannot undo the promise of the shepherd who says, I am with you. I am for you. When our kids were younger, I won't name them. There's only two of them, Ethan and Kara. Hey, Kara. I had this great idea. I've shared this before. It's been a while. I had this great idea. This was in Virginia. I'm sure I thought I was doing this great dad thing, you know, giving Lydia a break from the toddlers and the terrors that they are at times. And so take the kids outside in the front yard and say, look, we're going to play follow the leader, right? And I think it's a great game, right? Pretty easy to implement. You don't need a whole lot. You just need people who are willing to follow. Well, guess what? It ended up being, I want to be the leader. I don't want to do this. I thought, there went that idea. How many times have you said, maybe out loud, but maybe in your heart, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Here's the problem. Here's the bad news. We resist being led. Not only where we need to go, but where we have to go. We resist that, and that's what sin is. It's resisting the leading of the Lord. It's more than that, but it's certainly that. And I don't know exactly where David was when he wrote this. We're not told. It just says a Psalm of David, verse 0, right? A Psalm of David. But I have to think that he wrote this likely, I'm just speculating, please don't, I don't know this, when he was king. Maybe when his son, I think I mentioned this last week, maybe when his son was in rebellion, Absalom, or some other difficulty. It might not have been when he was king, but maybe after he was anointed king. Point being is, he was probably in a place of life where he, in some ways, said, I have it all. And it requires humility then to say, I have it all, but I need a shepherd. Or, I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. If, as someone is hunting me down, someone's rebelling against me, I need Yahweh's presence. I have to imagine there was something like this. And maybe you've seen this video. Kids, help your parents with this YouTube. Greg, if you'll help show them this. Just look at search, right? Sheep stuck in ditch or sheep stuck in trench. And you've probably seen the video. A teenager reaches down into this trench to grab from his back leg, pulls this sheep out or lamb out of this narrow trench, sets him on his feet. He starts running away. And then you see him take this large leap, only to end up right back, stuck in that trench. Boy, that's us, isn't it? The Lord rescues us, pulls us out of our trouble, and we go bounding off saying, I got this, thank you, appreciate it, see you later. Boom, right back. If you look, if you search for that sheep and trench and ditch, you might find another video. It's a man, it's a larger ditch with running water, and there's a sheep in it, and he can't get out. He's in the muck, a little bit of water. Man goes down, I don't know if he's a shepherd, but he goes down into that ditch. He's got to lift him up out of that. He's dirty. He puts the sheep. Sheep starts to go away from the ditch, good, and then he turns around and ends up right back into it. And you end this video, it's a very short video, you end this video with the man just shaking his head. He did it one time. He rescued him one time, and I think sometimes we think that's how God is with us. I think sometimes we fear that, you know, if we end up in the ditch one more time, the shepherd will say, you know what, I've had enough of you. I can't get dirty anymore. But that is not who our shepherd is. That is not how you are led. That is not the heart of our shepherd. We would not call him good. Jesus would not be the great shepherd if he walked away. He didn't. In fact, he entered into this world. He was born in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about it. I was having this conversation. I was talking with Pastor Alex down at the Village Church. We were after Presbytery working on our sermons, and we were talking about Psalm 23. And that's, I have to give him credit. He said, you know, as we were talking about Jesus, he said, he was born in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about it. From his earliest days, he was hunted. And he did not shy away. From the earliest to the last day, constant was the shadow of death. But Jesus will never lead you where he has not already gone. You hear that? He will never lead you where he hasn't already gone first. He will never take you where he doesn't already know the terrain, the dangers, the challenges, and he will never, ever leave you alone. That's what Jacob said. That's what David said. That's the promise of Scripture. It's the first verse I ever memorized, Hebrews 13:5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That is a promise you can cling to. Cling to that promise, especially in your valleys, in the shadows, in the darkness. We are led by the Savior, not driven by the Savior. And by His Holy Spirit, we long for the leading of the shepherd and His life and His death and His resurrection. Open the way. Even death, which every one of us in this room will experience, because of Jesus, is but a gate to that eternal place of rest, to that eternal place where there is no longer a valley of shadow of the shadow of death. There is no longer deep darkness. The King of love, my shepherd is, who goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Perverse and foolish off I strayed, and yet in love he sought me. And on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Henry Baker is right in writing that hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Psalm 23 not only tells us what the shepherd does, but particularly in leading us, how he leads. He leads in love. He leads us with his love. He is ours forever. Own your wandering. I should say wandering. Own your straying. Own your foolishness, yes. But only do that as by faith you profess your belief in the Lord, Yahweh, who is our shepherd. That name is a reminder that the one who makes promises to you and for you fulfills his promises. I've encouraged you this month, this is what the blue sheet's about, to memorize Psalm 23. To pray, the stickers are just a tangible reminder to pray for someone who's without a shepherd or away from the good shepherd. I put my chonky sheep on the back of my phone next to my red panda, and when I see that, which, you know, you always have your phone with you, right? So when I see it, I'm often reminded to pray for those things that they're there to remind me. And one of those, and I've been praying for some people in my life that I care very much about and long to see them know the Savior. And then I've encouraged you to fast, and there's some different ways that you can fast, and let me just say, it's not easy. But as I do a couple different fasts, particularly with the food, as my stomach growls and I'm saying, I'm hungry, and some days I've managed to make it with my goal, and other days not less so. But when that happens, I say, Lord, give me a longing, a craving for you. And then I'm led to prayer for these other people as well. And so that's the design, that's the hope, that's the challenge there, is to lead us to our good shepherd and to long for how he leads us. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? If you aren't certain of that, I would love to talk to you. Jacob would love to talk with you about what that means. Do you long for his leading? Then continue to seek the Lord and know that he has sought you. From time to time, and I'll conclude with this, especially when I'm visiting children in the hospital, I will ask a question. If you could be any kind of animal, what would you be? All right, so children, you could maybe answer this question. You could think about it. Would you want to be an eagle that soars high in the sky in beauty and grace? That's a contender. Would you want to be something tough and stout like a rhinoceros? Or perhaps you've seen the pampering that our dogs and cats get, and you think, maybe I'll just go that route. Of course, you've also seen what they eat, so maybe not. As I'm asking that, I'm leading to the answer that Scripture gives us. It's not as exciting as choosing your own animal adventure, but it's a greater reality that we need and get to see. If we have a shepherd, and we do, then that makes us sheep. And like sheep, that means we need to be led. Otherwise, not only will we end up in a ditch, but we'll die there. The exceedingly good news is that if we are sheep, then we have a shepherd. And if we have a shepherd, then we can ask what kind. And this shepherd has revealed his love, his care, his constancy, his companionship, no matter how dark life gets. The strength of your following in the end is not what matters the most. It is the commitment of the shepherd to you. And he died and rose for you. He's with you. He's for you. He will lead you where you need to go. And he will lead you where you have to go. And one day, perhaps soon, we will be led home. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, like a shepherd, lead us. Show us how good you are. Lord, let not the circumstances, difficulties, uncertainties of life cause us to draw a false conclusion that you don't care or that we've been left alone to fend for ourselves. Lord, help us to see you there with us. Yes, sometimes correcting, but always loving. Father, I pray for any who are without a shepherd or who've wandered away from the good shepherd. Lord, those whom we've been praying for and continue to pray for this month, and those who we know in our families and our lives around us, would you lead them home to you? Thank you for Jesus, who shows us what a shepherd is and does in a very real way. And thank you, Lord, that you meet us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob's going to come and lead us in communion this morning.